Shach Arab Parakeh Mishnah Tet Amalan Rabbi Akiva. He had them Moidam Li Benoisin Eruba Bamar Shaimlo Mimakam Eruba Ella Apayamam. In the previous mission, we had a machlok between Rabbi Akiva and the Chacham. According to the Chacham, somebody who places an Arab inside a neighboring city is allowed to regard the entire city as four amas and can walk 2,000 amas in each direction from the end of the boundaries of the city. Now, the person who places an Arab in a city has the same din as the people who live in the city, that the entire city is regarded as only four amas. Well, Rabbi Akiva argued, according to Rabbi Akiva, somebody who places an Arab in a city does not have the same din as the people who live in the city. He cannot regard the entire city as four amas. So he's only allowed to walk 2,000 amas in each direction from the place where he put down the Arab. He would not be allowed to walk 2,000 amas from the end of the boundaries of the city. And in this mission, Rabbi Akiva said to the Chacham, don't you, the Chacham, agree with me? If somebody who places his Arab in a cave, that is only allowed to walk 2,000 amas in each direction from the place where he put down the Arab. He cannot walk 2,000 amas from the place where the cave ends. He only has 2,000 amas from the place where he put down the Arab. We would not regard the entire cave as four amas. So therefore, what's the difference between a cave and a city? If somebody places the Arab in a cave, he's only allowed to walk 2,000 amas from the place where he put down the Arab and does not regard the entire cave as four amas. So too, somebody who places the Arab in a neighboring city should only be allowed to walk 2,000 amas in each direction from the place where he put down the Arab. We should not regard the entire city as four amas. Amrullah, Chacham responded to Rabbi Akiva, Amesai, bizman she'ein badiyurim. Avo yesh badiyurim, mahalech es kula v'chutala apayim amas. When do we agree with you that somebody who puts the Arab in a cave cannot regard the entire cave as four amas? That's only if the cave is not fit to be lived in. Since it's not fit to be lived in, we don't regard the entire cave as four amas. So it only has 2,000 amas from the place where he put down the Arab. However, somebody who places his Arab in a cave that is fit to be lived in such a case, he would be allowed to regard the entire cave as four amas and walk 2,000 amas in each direction from the end of the cave. So therefore, somebody who places the Arab in a city, since a city as people that live there, so it's fit to be lived in, so we regard the entire city as an area of four amas. They can walk 2,000 amas from the end of the city. Nimsa kal tocha me'agam. Turns out that it's more lenient for somebody who put his Arab inside a cave than for somebody who put his Arab on top of a cave. And since the Chacham holds that a cave that is fit to be lived in, if you place the Arab inside the cave, you regard the entire cave as four amas and can walk 2,000 amas on Shabbos from the end of the cave. So it's more lenient to place the Arab inside the cave than on top of the cave. And if you put the Arab on top of the cave, then you can only walk 2,000 amas in each direction from the place where you put down the Arab. Since the top of the cave is not fit to be lived in, so we would not regard the entire top of the cave as four amas. So it's more stringent to put the Arab on top of the cave than to put the Arab inside the cave, since when you put the Arab inside the cave, the entire cave is regarded as only four amas. Well, I might say to Amru, nois and lo apayim. So I feel a sight midaso kala b'mar. But somebody who did not place his Arab inside the cave, instead he's simply walking 2,000 amas from his town, and the 2,000 amas end somewhere inside the cave, he cannot regard the entire cave as four amas. And he can only walk to the place where 2,000 amas ends, even if those 2,000 amas end somewhere in the middle of the cave. And that which Chacham holds, that you're allowed to regard the entire cave as four amas, if the cave is fit to be lived in, that's only if you place your Arab inside the cave. However, if you're simply measuring 2,000 amas from your city, you did not make any Arab, so you're walking 2,000 amas in the direction of the cave from your city, even if your 2,000 amas end somewhere in the middle of the cave, you cannot walk any further than that. And this is similar to the case that we had previously. People who are walking from a small town to a large town, and their 2,000 amas end somewhere in the middle of the large town, they cannot walk any further than from the point where their 2,000 amas end, since they did not make an Arab. So too, somebody who is measuring out 2,000 amas from his town, and the 2,000 amas end somewhere in the middle of the cave, that's as far as the ladder walk on Shabbat. He can't walk any further than that. And even the Chachamim in such a case would not regard the entire cave as four amas. Somebody who lives in the same courtyard as a gun, or he lives in the same courtyard with somebody who does not acknowledge the halachos of Eir, such as a kuthi or a stuki, that deny Torah through Alpeh, and they deny the halachos through Abana, and the halachos of Eir are mitra Abana. So it would be forbidden to carry from the house into the chatzar on Shabbos. And the halacha is, if there are two or more houses that open up into a common courtyard, you're not allowed to carry from the house into the chaser or from the chaser into the house on Shabbos. It is also midrash rabbanan. And even though min haTorah you could carry from the house into the courtyard, since both the house and the courtyard are a reshus hayachid, and the courtyard is enclosed by a wall, so it's a reshus hayachid just like the house. However, the rabbanan do not allow you to carry from the house into the chaser or from the chaser into the house on Shabbos, since the chaser is commonly owned by all the different houses in the chaser, while the houses are privately owned. However, if you make an Erev Chaserah, that would allow you to carry from the house into the chaser. If the members of each household contribute some bread that is placed in one of the houses, that allows you to carry from the house into the chaser or from the chaser into the house. However, if there's a guy or a stuki living in the same courtyard, you cannot include the guy or the stuki in your Erev Chaserah. And since he is not included, the Erev Chaserah will not help. And the Erev Chaserah has to include all the members of the courtyard, so therefore, you will not be allowed to carry from your house into the chaser on Shabbos. Now, even though min hadin, the dwelling of a guy, is not considered a dwelling at all, so therefore, min hadin, you should not have to include the guy in your Erev Chaserah, since his dwelling is not regarded as a real dwelling. However, the Chachamim do not want you to live in the same courtyard as a guy. And the Chachamim do not want you to learn from the deeds of a guy, and if you live in the same courtyard, you might learn from his deeds. So therefore, the Rabbanim do regard his dwelling as a dwelling. And therefore, if it's not included in the Erev Chaseros, you cannot carry from your house into the Chaser. And the Rabbanim do not allow you to include it. So therefore, since you can't make an Erev Chaseros, you will move out of the courtyard that is shared by a guy, and that way you won't learn from his deeds. Now, there's only one option that you have if you live in the same courtyard as a guy. An Erev Chaseros does not help. However, if you rent out the property of the guy for Shabbos, then you would be allowed to carry from your house into the chaser. This is the one option that the Rabbanim do give you, since the Rabbanim do not believe that a guy will be willing to rent out his property for the Shabbos, even if it's only a symbolic rental. And the rental is merely symbolic. Even if you give him less than a pruta, that would help to allow you to carry it from your house into the chaser. However, the guy will be suspicious of you when you ask to rent out his property. He'll think you're applying some kind of witchcraft on him, and therefore he won't be willing to rent out his property, even though the rental is merely symbolic and will not stop him from continuing to use the property on Shabbos. So since he will not allow you to rent the property for him on Shabbos, and you will not be allowed to carry it from your house into the chaser on Shabbos, that will motivate you to move out of the chaser of which a guy lives in. That which the presence of a guy in the chaser does not allow you to carry from your house into the chaser on Shabbos, that's only if there are two Jews living in the chaser besides the guy. Now, essentially, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov agree with the Tanna Kamma. Does the Rabbanan decree that even though min hadin, the dwelling of a guy, is not considered a dwelling at all, so you should not have to include him in the Erev Chaser. However, the Rabbanan will not allow you to carry from your house to the Chaser unless you rent the property of the guy from him for Shabbos, since the Rabbanan were afraid you might learn from his deeds if you live in the same courtyard as the guy, and since you would not be allowed to carry from your house to the chaser on Shabbos unless you rent out the property from him, and the guy most probably will not be willing to rent out his property, that will motivate you to move out of the chaser. But that only pertains, according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, when there are two Jews living in the chaser besides the guy. If there's only one Jew living in the chaser besides the guy, that's a very uncommon occurrence. If usually one Jew will be afraid to live in the same courtyard as the guy, he'll be afraid the guy might kill him. If he's the only Jew living there, so the guy could kill him without anybody witnessing it. So it's very uncommon that one Jew will live in the same courtyard as a guy. So since that's very uncommon, that's a davar de lo shchiach, it's not usual, and the Rabbanan do not make decrees in cases that are lo shchiach. So the decree of the Rabbanan that the dwelling of a guy is regarded as a dwelling, and you cannot carry from your house into the chaser without renting out the property from the guy in Shabbos, that doesn't pertain to a case where there's only one Jew living in the same courtyard as a guy, since it's a davar de lo shchiach, and something that's not usual, it's not included in the decree of the Rabbanan. So since it's not included in the decree, so we revert back to our cloud that the dwelling of a guy is not regarded as a dwelling at all. And since the dwelling of a guy is not regarded as a dwelling, and there's only one Jew living in the courtyard, he could carry from his house into the chaser without an heir of chaseris at all. However, when there's two Jews living in the chaser besides the guy, that is a common occurrence, and the Jews won't be afraid of the guy, since they have another Jew besides him living in the chaser. So since that's a common occurrence, it's included in the Gzeres Rabbanan that we regard the dwelling of a guy as a dwelling, and you can't carry it from your house into the chaser on Shabbos without renting out the property of the guy for the Shabbos.